Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, April 10th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hi, I have a bit of a cold, so I probably sound a little hoarse, but otherwise I'm good.
Reminds me of a Monty Python sketch. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm good. I am not a little horse. I do know a little horse. He pulls a cart. It's actually quite adorable. So
that sounds adorable. Is it a little horse? It's totally adorable. Is it a pony?
No, it's a little horse. It's a miniature horse.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, I now have the single cutest image of the day lodged in my head. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
But I always do try to like get him extra water because he's a little horse. So, you know.
I'm a little horse. I have lots to do.
See, the thing that I love about having John on when he's on prescription medications is that he does things like sing for me.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nice. It's entertaining. I hope our listeners feel the same way.
Oh, I have
bad
no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, iMazing is our sponsor today, which is pretty awesome. I'll talk about them in a bit. But speaking of bits, there is a new report that's out, which some people are looking at and saying, isn't this an old report? But not exactly. And here's the deal. There's a prominent iOS and macOS app developer, Stephen Troughton Smith, and he is saying that he's being told, someone is making it very clear to him that 32-bit app support is not going to be included in iOS 11. So what that means is that any apps that haven't been updated to take advantage of Apple's 64-bit architecture on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch will stop working once you update to iOS 11 when that comes out this fall, so like in September. And I think we kind of need to take a little bit of a look at this and maybe also explain to people what that means. So first, we've had 32-bit apps for a while, and this refers to the chip architecture that's in our devices, meaning can the processor handle these apps or not? And then it also refers to the operating system itself. And so if you change your operating system so that it only supports 64-bit apps, even if the chip that it's running on will support more, it doesn't matter because the operating system is now limiting you. So
right.
If you have older apps or current apps that just haven't been updated yet, developers either need to step up and make that happen before the official iOS 11 release this fall, or we need to find alternatives to those apps. Now, when we started talking about this in the meeting before recording, Dave, you chimed in and said, "Didn't we already know this?"
Well, yeah. I mean, I assumed iOS 11. Actually, I thought anything after what we currently have. I thought anything after 10.3.1, like 10.4, might be where we see the end of 32-bit apps. But it makes more sense that it would be iOS 11. But I suppose we had never had that confirmed. Especially with what 10.3 and of course 10.3.1 do, when you launch a 32-bit app and you get that notification the first time saying, hey, this app is not going to work in future versions of iOS, right? That's different than hey, you should ask the developer to update it because it might slow down your phone. That's two very different things. So, mm-hmm. So this is one of those things where it was like, okay, I guess it's good that we're hearing some. I mean, it's not an official report, but it's more than us just speculating based on these error messages, and hopefully it's not just him speculating. It doesn't sound like it's him speculating based on these error messages, but it's obvious that Apple wants these apps to go away. I don't know that I've ever experienced such horrendously awful performance on my iPhone due to one of these. But I mean, I can see from a purist standpoint where this would matter, I suppose. John, have you experienced anything where you're like, oh man, these people need to get up to speed because this 32-bit thing is cramping my mojo? Yeah, I don't know.
No, I haven't had that. I suspect all along that there's some technical reason which we haven't figured out yet for this that's causing Apple to do this. It could be that, and I just had this brainstorm this morning, and I'm probably way off here because I'm on medication, but Mike, one guess I have is that APFS is involved, and that there is some sort of plugin that allows apps to, you know, still work with APFS as a 32-bit app at Apple. That's a kludge. That's just a guess, but I'm thinking it's something along those lines. Maybe it has to do with the compiler technology, with the security of 64-bit apps as opposed to the old environment of 32-bits, or something related to APFS. I haven't figured out what it is yet, but I have a hunch. There's some underlying technical reason, which will be revealed later, maybe at WWDC, or maybe sooner, why this is having to happen. And it's not just arbitrary on Apple's part. It's not because Apple says, I think 64-bit apps are cooler, we don't want to mess with 32-bits anymore. There's some underlying technical issue, and we'll find out what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there were, you know, when we went through this on OS X, it was all about addressing RAM, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we needed to be 64-bit so that you could address more RAM and all that. iPhones don't, and even iPads don't have gobs and gobs of RAM to worry about with that. And based on kind of what we all went through back then, all things being equal, most apps actually ran faster as 32-bit apps, right? Or ran the same. The only places we found 64-bit apps running faster were if you were relying on a lot of math, right? Because 64-bit apps can do math more efficiently, and if you needed, you know, things to address RAM in larger chunks, that could make it work faster. But in terms of, like, you know, an app that shows you the weather, I don't see why it would matter if it were 64-bit versus 32-bit, and even then the 32-bit version of that app might be a little bit faster. So yeah, so there, I'm with you, John, that there's got to be a technical reason. It's not just somebody saying,
some sort of stack where the 32-bit apps reside and a stack where the 64-bit apps reside, and Apple maybe has to jump through hoops, and there's probably some issues with security or something. Or simplification, as Jeff mentioned in the morning meeting, it could be Apple wants to simplify the architecture of the A11 so it can run faster, and they don't use as much silicon devoted to 32-bits.
Yeah. And when you think about smaller code bases,
or maybe Apple moving Macintoshes to ARM, and they want to have, you know, full-blown 64-bit ARM processors across the board.
That makes the most sense right there, to be perfectly honest. Is if they want it to be in sync. Of course, the Mac still runs 32-bit apps happily.
Right.
I've got several things on my computer that are running 32-bit. Dropbox, I think, is still 32-bit. Mm-hmm. Synology Cloud Station, which is similar to Dropbox, still 32-bit. you know, I don't know. But yeah, if you want to move to processors. Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah, there's got to be a reason for it. BB Edit is still a 32-bit app, believe it or not.
Seriously?
Yeah, it turns out, I'm looking on my Mac. Yeah.
Well, there's an app that I use every single day.
Where are you looking to do that? You're going under About This Mac?
No.
And then the System Report?
You probably could do it that
applications.
Way.
Applications?
Yep. I'm looking in Activity Monitor on the CPU listing. I went to the View menu, and I went to Columns, and I turned on the Kind column, and then I sorted by that to show me what processes were running that were 32-bit. Because I wanted to see if there were any Apple processes that were still 32-bit For a while, the Finder was, but that was changed a while back. And there are no, at least not running on either of my Macs. One runs Sierra, the other runs El Capitan. Neither one of them is has any Apple-based 32-bit processes active. But yeah, I think you're right, John. If you go to the system report, system information, I think if you go to applications there, it will show you if they're 32-bit as well. I think. Awesome. Does it? Did you look?
All right. John? Well, while John looks, I'll kind of wrap us up saying we don't have official word that 32-bit support is being dropped in iOS 11, but it seems like a very reasonable thing to assume at this point in the game with the more aggressive notifications that we're getting with 32-bit apps on our iOS devices, plus with Stephen Trotton Smith coming out with his tweets saying, hey, look, here's what I'm hearing, and the fact that we have iOS 11 getting previewed most likely at Worldwide Developers Conference in June. It would be a perfect time for Apple to announce 32-bit app support is going away. They might get a little more aggressive with the apps that they clean off the App Store because of that. Yep. So, yeah, I'm totally buying into this. I think that 32-bit app support is gone with iOS 11.
So, interestingly, on the Mac, yes, John's. If you go into system information on your Mac and you go to software applications, then there is a column for 64-bit Intel, and it's just yes or no. And I've actually found a couple of apps from Apple. DVD player version 5.8, which is on Sierra, is not 64-bit. GarageBand. Version 605, which is what I have on this machine, is not 64-bit. I don't know that that's the latest. I don't run GarageBand on this machine often, but I think it is, actually. I think that's the latest.
That's kind of
funny. And yeah. So, you know, there's some things. Keynote 5.3 is not 64-bit. Although that's an old one. Sorry, I've got that buried in my iWork09 folder. Ignore that. I mean, don't ignore it, but that's not the latest version of Keynote. It's all good.
All right.
So
cool. Okay. Well, then in that case, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is iMazing 2. And iMazing 2 is this really cool app that to me is the file transfer system that Apple should have made for our iOS devices. So what you can do with iMazing 2 is go in and find all the stuff that's inside your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod Touch, and move it or copy it off of there to your Mac. You can take files and move them back onto your Mac. You can use it for full device backups. You can go in and just grab all kinds of stuff, and it's really cool. Now, the last time that they were sponsoring the show, several weeks ago, I mentioned that iMazing 2.2 was coming out, and that version includes the ability to create and delete and manage your photo albums. Plus, it also adds in the ability to manage the files, that the EPUBs and PDFs that you're putting into and taking out of iBooks. So, I mean, that was really cool. It wasn't out yet, but it is now. So if you've been holding off on trying out iMazing because you wanted to wait for that feature, well, hop to it, gang, because it's out. So that's iMazing 2.2, and it's really cool that they added in the ability to manage your iBooks content. That's going to be really handy for a lot of people. So if you want to check this out, and you really should, you need to head over to the special webpage they have set up just for our Daily Observations listeners, and that's imazing.com/TDO. imazing.com/TDO. And just please go check it out. And it's a really great app. And I'm so glad that I have it on my computer, and I think you guys need to have it on yours as well. And hey, you're going to get a 20% discount when you use that special link that I gave you. So everyone loves to save some money. Hop to it, guys. imazing.com/TDO. And thank you to iMazing for being our sponsor. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to talk about today is this news that Apple is getting into the business of making their own GPUs for their mobile devices. And this is something that kind of came up in the, well, not kind of, it totally came up in the news last week when Imagination Technologies, which is the company that Apple has partnered with for the GPU processors that are inside our iPhones and iPads for I think like 10 years now, the whole time we've had these devices. It's been a long time.
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we found out about this when Imaginations did a press release where they said that Apple has decided that sometime in the next 2 years they're going to stop using their technology in favor of their own in-house design chips, which doesn't surprise me because Apple has been designing their own chips for other things. Like, they have custom processors that run our iPhones and iPads. They designed a special processor to run the Touch Bar in the new MacBook Pro. So adding their own GPUs to the mix, not much of a surprise. So it seemed like at the time that the announcement was a bit of a posturing move, legal posturing move, because Imaginations said that they don't think Apple can make their processors without using Imation-owned patents. And at least right now, based on what we've heard, it doesn't look like Apple is that interested in talking with Imation about patent licensing. So I think they're doing a posturing thing. Their stock has tanked in the meantime. But here's the other thing. Apple, over the past 2 years, has already hired 25 people away from Imaginations. And we got news today that they have job listings in London for 12 more GPU engineers. And my take on that is this is Apple's kind of passive-aggressive way of letting the Imaginations people know, hey, we have more jobs, come on over.
It's a sorry situation, I think, when you have to come to the conclusion that Apple can do pretty much as it darn well pleases. I mean, it's a characteristic of large companies. They have resources, they have patents, they have engineering resources, they have relationships with other vendors. But it's kind of unsettling to think that, in my mind, it was when I first heard this, that, you know, Apple's just going to go do what they do. And this is not the first time they've done that. When Apple's determined to do something, they figure out how to do it, and if they're in their best interest, and then they work out the details later. So that's another way to look at it.
Yeah, my guess is they've worked out the details, and one of the details is how much they expect it is going to cost in litigation fees.
Right, which is a cost of doing business, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't imagine they're going to avoid litigation for this. I'm not convinced. I think they're going to have to tread very carefully to ensure that litigation gets dismissed. But you can be certain that the lawyers for Imagination. Now, you said Imation earlier, Jeff. Was that just a verbal stumble?
A total verbal stumble. Wow, I didn't even realize I did that.
You didn't do it all the time, and that's why it seemed odd. Okay, so yeah, Imagination. They're going to have to make sure that, especially if they're hiring talent from there, that they steer very clear of any actual patent infringement, because you know that Imagination, and especially Imagination's investors, are going to be looking for this because they just lost a ton of value in their company.
Yeah, their stock tanked.
Well,
if Apple's planning to move away from the technology, then it suggests that there would be a little patent overlap, because if they're happy with the technology, they would stay with it. If they're not happy with it, then there's a reason for it, and it's technical. And Apple probably wants to chart its own course, and it may have its own engineering ideas about how to fix the problem they're having, which means that there probably wouldn't be much patent infringement. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly sounds like a nice argument to make at summary judgment.
I agree. and I'm betting that Imagination Technologies is going to bring up the fact that one of the key GPU hires that Apple has made is their former COO, John Metcalf. So, yeah, I mean, if Apple was willing to hire one of their senior executives, they've got a big box of money set aside for for the legal fight. They know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're pretty much out of time, but I'm going to ask you a question that I bet a lot of people are interested in, knowing what you think. Because Apple is getting into the GPU, custom GPU business for their mobile devices, do you think that this is going to extend to their desktop and laptop line at some point?
I have some insight into that. I was doing a podcast this morning with the legendary Johnny Evans, and he suggested that Apple has discovered that in order to do the VR and the AR that they want to do down the road, they're going to make monster investments in graphics cards, and that may fit in with their desktop initiative.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to when that show airs, because I'm really curious to see what Johnny has to say. And also, every time you do an interview on Background Mode, it's just mm-hmm. great. So
thank you.
Yeah,
I learn a lot, meet a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to include a note in today's show notes so that people can hop right to the archive of Background Mode podcasts, because I'm betting that we have some listeners that didn't even realize you were doing these really good interviews and would like to hear them. So go check out today's show notes for that link, people. It'll be there waiting for you. And we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. It was great to be here.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. I got through it. Yay. All my meds.
You know, you are such a trooper. Seriously. Okay. And listeners, head over to iMazing.com/TDO and get your 20% discount on iMazing 2. Don't forget, version 2.2 is out, and it has that awesome new feature where you can manage the EPUB and PDF content that you want in iBooks. So that's really awesome. And listeners, I'm so glad you're here yet again. Thanks for joining me. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.